And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rod Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sander.
Welcome back. Hour number two, and Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the mightier 1090. Have a great time talking fishing with Mike aboard the Tribute. Man, it is just happening right now. Today is a good day to be talking fishing.
Oh, man, beautiful weather, good fishing, whether you're a private boater, whether you're going out on the Tribute, day-and-a-half trips. In fact, we're giving away a day-and-a-half trip today on the Tribute. So one lucky caller at 213-432-1090. Thank you, Mike, for that.
Oh, of course.
Or a lucky texter. We're going to flip a coin at the end of the show. So when you do text us, make sure you leave your name and contact info, your telephone number there. And just a cool way.
Yeah.
You know, the app is so cool. I listen to the archive shows. You can listen to ones from, you know, how many years ago you want. But just to listen while work and while I'm not here, it's a cool way to do it.
Great way to kill some time, no doubt about that. Well, the phones are packed and so are the texts. We're going to start off with a text. Good morning, boys. Mike, can you talk a little bit about how your boat is outfitted, the type of electronics that you have, and do you guys offer an RSW? That's from Ralph and Menifee.
Oh, yeah. No, we've been on RSW since it became cool. Actually, all of our fish do go into an RSW. We keep it right about 36 degrees, not frozen, but extremely chilled. So your catch comes out, and we've talked about it. This is years ago, but in some cases, the fish actually come out better looking than they went in, which seems unheard of.
Incredible.
Yeah. So you're ending up with, you know, whether it's bluefin or yellowfin, sashimi grade style fish, yellowtail, the Dorado, you know, and this, you know, looking way back, I mean, Dorado used to be kind of funky. Like, you'd sit in a gunny sack all day.
It was kind of like the Barracuda thing,
they
right?
They got warm. Yeah. You go to Flam, they'd be falling apart and brown. It's not like that.
But
anymore.
Today?
I had some Dorado tacos a couple of days ago that came off of the boat, and they're phenomenal. I mean, the fish come on the boat, they get bled, tagged, and as soon as we can, we get them down in the fish hold. So they're not sitting on deck. They're not sitting in a gunny sack. They're taken care of as well as possible. As far as the boat goes, it's a 80-foot Dittmar Donaldson. Very similar to boats like the Grande, the Searcher, the Islander, all Dittmars. The San Diego is almost identical without the sleeping accommodations. But it's a solid wood mahogany boat. Rides very well. Fishes extremely well. That's one thing Bill Poole apparently had his hand in when they were designing the boat. It's low to the water, ample amount of rail space between the rail and the house. Just definitely, it was built to fish. Like,
yeah, no doubt.
You see some boats that you can't get around the corner properly or around the bow. The rudders are sticking out past the transom. None of that is an issue with the boat. It's extremely user-friendly, and it was designed. I mean, like I said, Bill Poole definitely had his hand in Dittmar building the boat and how it came out. It was, at the time, it was built in 66. It was probably one of the most fish-friendly vessels around. I mean, it's made to fish.
Still is.
Yes. And as far as accommodations, the boat sleeps 42. We don't usually take that many. We keep our trip limited to 32. It's one of the differences you see between some of the 65-foot boats that are offering limited load at 30 or 32 passengers. We have the ability to sleep way more. We just don't do it.
Yeah.
That gives you open bunks. If you have any kind of knee or back issue, we have deck level staterooms that can be very beneficial. Or if you have a family group on the boat and you don't want your 8-year-old daughter sleeping with a bunch of stinky fishermen for the first time, the staterooms are definitely available for that. And large galley seats about 20. Talking about the meals earlier, so a lot of our dinners are done in two cycles. And the way fishing's been lately, you know, in a lot of cases, it's hard to get people off the deck to come to the galley because we're, you know, you don't want to miss that opportunity to hook a 100 to 200 pound bluefin or whatever. But very, very comfortable boat, air conditioned. conditioning works great. Fish hold, you know, like I said, the fish come out in most cases looking as good, if not better, than when they went in. So
and you
it's
do that
very well taken care of.
You keep the fish at that temperature because it's preserving them, keeping them super cold, but then still you can process that fish immediately. Like you could pull that fish immediately out of the hold and fillet it right that second head you want to.
Yeah,
you don't have to wait for things to defrost or anything like that.
No, and you don't once you know you start down below 32 degrees and. On longer trips, it's ideal to keep them as cold as you can without freezing them. But on these, you know, most of our trips are 1 to 2.5 days, and they come out. You can literally go home and throw it on the grill. Like it's, you know, it's going to be in really good shape. It's not frozen. Once you freeze the fish and thaw it out, you know, it does lose some of its. You know, texture, and you know, it's not necessarily bad, but you want to keep it as cold as you can without freezing it, and that's just ideal. You see some of the bluefin and stuff that come out after being bled and, you know, being down in the fish hole, and we cut them, and we do try to, like I said, flay as much as we can on the boat, and especially with the processors being overwhelmed, but you know, you take your fish home, you clean it up a little bit, you throw it on the grill, and you're good to go. And once you do, like it, and I really suggest vacuum sealing your own fish when you get home.
It's a lot of work, but it's much more work.
It's a ton of work. There's a reason I have the processors do it anytime I can. I can cut fish just as good as anybody else, but I would rather have somebody else do it and vacuum seal it because they're vacuum seal bags, you know, whether it's processing, five star. They do a great job. But you go home and you take your little vacuum sealer, vacuum seal it. You can choose your portion size, everything else. But if you want, you know, you get in from a day and a half trip on Tuesday morning, you go home and you put that thing on the grill Tuesday night, and it's as good as it gets.
How cool.
And it's never frozen, so you're only freezing it once if you're putting it in your freezer.
I like it.
That's cool. Phones are packed, Corey. Let's get them.
Let's do it. How about Ed? Ed and Mira Mesa. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Cook It Then.
What's up, Ed?
Hi, guys. Hey, I got a couple questions. First one is about the remote, you know, at the car dealerships. I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know if it's still going on or what. And my next question is for Mike. What would you rather have, live bait or artificial going after the Dorado?
Ooh, see, that one thing with Dorado fishing is jigs and Dorado do not do very well together.
When there's 30 other people next to you.
Yeah, if you're fishing your own private boat or something, but Dorado love, I mean, they love to jump.
Yeah.
A lot
First
of times
thing they do.
They love to bite them.
And a lot of times you'll see them jump before you even know you're bit. And as soon as they feel that line in their mouth, the hook, whatever it is, a lot of times you'll see, you know, we'll be stopped on a kelp and a Dorado starts jumping. They don't do that unless they're hooked usually. So the problem is if you're fishing on a boat with 30 other people, that Dorado comes up and jumps and you're pulling on it. Whether it's a plastic, a jig, anything else, a lot of times that thing comes straight back in the boat. And they have a tough mouth, they a great head shake when they jump, and it literally is terrifying when somebody's pulling on an 8 or 9 foot rod. They have a heavy jig stuck in the mouth of the Dorado, and that thing starts jumping. It's like, you know, everybody hit the deck.
It's better than a 50-50 chance that thing's going to throw the hook on a jig jumping.
I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't like standing next to that
Not
guy.
Cool. Not cool.
So definitely bait. You know, it's one thing having a hook come back in the boat. And, you know, fishing long range is the same thing. You'd stop on Dorado or on kelps or whatever, and you're fishing wahoo. And, you know, whether they're eating a heavy jig, like a Raider jig or something like that, or even having a wire leader and a Dorado are such a pain in the butt when they get in the boat.
They're all muscle, man. They're
big
long
ones. And big ones are terrifying. They beat you to death, and they shake almost everything, whether it's, you know, it's one thing having a little, you know, teeny hook come out of it or having a jig. So I do, when we have good Dorado fishing, I stress as much as I can, no jigs.
Bait.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, I don't know, it was 8 years ago where there was some wahoo on kelps, and, you know, you can't tell a guy not to try to catch a wahoo 10 miles from home, so, you know, you got to deal with it then. But if it's straight Dorado kelps, we really push for no jigs.
That's good. Yeah. Appreciate that. As far as the live remotes, no Ford live broadcast this year. However, we will definitely be doing some live broadcast events. I believe the next one will be at Tackle Day, which is the first Saturday in November at Fisherman's Landing. There might be one before that. Pete would be obviously the better to ask than I, but Ed will certainly make sure to get you all the dates as they come out, for sure. Corey, let's jump back into the phones.
How about John? John, calling from Escondido. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Cook Up this morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And, Mike, your boat's a pleasure to fish on. Great crew and stuff. Last year, my wife and I were having dinner in Palm Springs. We met a couple, and I had a fishing shirt on. So we were talking about fishing, and I'm like, hey, you know what, dude, book a trip. I'll take you out. I got plenty of gear. And so he booked a trip on your boat, and we went out. Then everything was close, and we're up on the bow. On his second drop down and wind up, boom, he hooked a 100-pounder. And I didn't have to worry about him. Your crew took really good care of him, stuff like that. And dude had a smile from ear to ear. So thank you very much for having a great boat. And
Meeting somebody like that and getting them on the boat, and I mean, you know, instant friendship. So that's awesome.
Nice going, John.
I do have a question. Can you troll behind the boat like the Mad Maxes or the cheater plugs?
We troll almost on every trip. I mean, there's times where if we're fishing nothing but big bluefin, or if we have the kite up, or you know, we're doing a flying fish behind the kite or something, we may not troll then, but almost 90% of the time while we're fishing, we have trolling rods behind the boat. And the cheater plug's been hot. And we over the last weekend, I think the cedar plug got bit like 10-1 on over, you know, anything else in the water.
Like just a straight cedar color.
Dorado. And I can't tell you how stupid I thought those things were when they first came out. I was working on the Pacific Eagle up out of Port Hueneme, and we're fishing for albacore. That one of the years they bit up there, like 1994. And a guy goes, hey, can I troll this? And I was like,
four.
Right. Nothing's going to bite that thing. And it turns out a plain brown, normal size cedar plug is one of the hottest things you could ever put behind a boat.
But when you look at them, you can understand. It's got like iron marauder.
It's in the water.
Stick with a lead head on it.
Yeah. Out of the water, dumbest looking thing in the world. You see that thing when you're back in control and it's, you know, it's finding its own path, dip and dart, and all of a sudden it's like, all right,
yeah. Well, what's it supposed to look like? Yeah. What in the water looks like it's a brown stick?
But the action of it is the key. You know, you see it going and it looks like a marauding iron.
They work great.
I love it.
Who cares, man? They get licked.
Make sure you're coming out with us. Yes, bring some cedar plugs.
Appreciate the call, John, very much. All right, let's find out what's going on the water.
I know. We've got our guy.
Your guy.
Right? Our guy, saltwater guy. The report is sponsored by Fisherman's Processing. Let's see here. Definitely, you want to make reservations, like we mentioned earlier, okay? Yeah. So whether you're fishing out of San Diego Landings, a long-range local, or your private boat, I'd imagine it's pretty difficult right now if you have your own private boat and you're bringing one in. But you want to check with them first. They also have Fish Pros to Market. You can purchase fresh fish, smoked, jerked fish, spices, or smoked cheese, tuna burgers. Their poke kit and their amazing ceviche kit, too, which I enjoyed a couple days ago. Check them out at Taylor Street in Old Town, or call for details, order online, and check them out on Instagram at The Real Fisherman's Processing.
Somebody needs to buy all that stuff to open up some room.
I know it, right? He's got a beautiful location.
Speaking of your guy, your saltwater guide is on the line. Good morning, Dave Hansen.
Good morning, Rick. You know, deep down inside, I'm your guy, too.
You're all of our guys.
Monkey on the back and all.
Yeah. You need a monkey report.
My monkey's doing great right now. He's grooming my legs as we're speaking. Grooming me.
Yeah, the visual aspect of it is beautiful.
Something I never need.
I'm going to send you a picture, Rick. You're going to get a picture right after this.
All right.
Oh,
I can't
Mike Pritchard, you're the same thing I said. In the early 90s, we were albacore fishing, and a guy came up in the bridge and said, hey, Cap, can I put this thing out? I'm all, no, absolutely not. We know what's working.
Sure, that's what I
we're
said.
Trolling we're trolling zucchinis, and we're trolling Mexican flags. We're not putting that. No, you can't put that behind the boat. Next thing I know, a guy yells, hook up. I come running down. I'm all, what's going on? It ate that piece of wood. I'm like, you got what? There's no way. Keep that shit out of the water.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
And they still work great to date.
Oh, my God. We use them down here in Cabo every single day. There's one behind the boat everywhere. Doesn't matter.
Still don't know what they look like.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know what
it's
supposed to mimic, but they work.
Yeah, who cares? They get the boat stopped.
That's it.
Line jig strike on a cedar plug. I'll take them every day. All right, gang. Fishing wise, Yeah, very easy to unhook. Gang, it is absolutely like Mike's been talking about, Rick and Corey and anybody that's called in. The fishing is absolutely incredible. This Dorado thing, invasion of the Dorado along the Southern California coast is what that's the last thing that we needed was that to show up, and it's here now. Bait barges are packed. You got to get down. The boaters guys are all calling me up, telling me, oh, my God, we can't even get a spot launch ramp. I'm all, yeah, what a horrible problem to have for everybody.
Yeah.
There is bait barge lines are long now. The fish are biting 2 miles off the beach. There's a bluefin, Dorado, yellowfin, yellowtail. Everything's in the mix right now. I know the island, calicos are biting good on the island at Catalina, but, man, like I'm telling all my clients, now this is what we waited for. Leave the islands alone. Leave all that other stuff alone. Let it rest. Go offshore. Go find something floating in the water. Go catch some Dorado. How cool is it to catch Dorado in Southern California? I mean, that's what I'm telling all my clients. Just go do it. It's, even if you just get to look, there's nothing better than looking at those fluorescent blue fish swimming around under your boat while you're watching the cars drive down the freeway. It's spectacular.
It's pretty neat, really, Dave. Out of all the, you know, for the private boat guy that wants to take his, you know, 15 or 17, 20-foot skiff out, they're a legitimate size, man. And they're, you know.
What a great fish for a kid to catch.
Right?
The first time.
Yeah. Totally. Just beautiful, good eating, and very close, extremely close to the harbor.
Crazy.
Right, and that's what we need. We need something to let all the other stuff that we've just been fishing day in and day out all season long. It's time to let that stuff rest. Go offshore and go have fun. Go maybe catch a bluefin, a yellowfin, a Dorado, a yellowtail, a marlin, a swordfish. Everything's here right now. The water's purple blue. It's unbelievable what's going on in Southern California. So there's nothing else to wait for. It's all here, and like Mike said, you can't get a reservation on sport boat right now, but man, call and try and get on a waiting list. It's the time. You want to be, if you don't have your private boat, you want to get in on the list. And then look at what my brother went out and did yesterday on their new boat. My goodness. Anybody
can
catch fish if Mike can.
That's a beautiful ride. Hey, great report, Dave. As always, we appreciate it. If somebody wants to keep in touch with the latest videos, trends, what's going on down in your world, how do we find you at Your Saltwater Guide?
Guys, check me out. Your Saltwater Guide, all over social media. I do 3 brand new videos every single day talking about fishing or your boat maintenance or whatever has to do with whatever has to do with whatever. So check me out, Your Saltwater Guide. And if you want to quit following the tribute around and actually find your own fish, go to yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I teach you how to never, ever follow a sport boat.
Thank you.
Great job, Dave. Appreciate a great report, as always, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thanks. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks, yeah. Thanks a lot. All right, let's jump back into those phones. Corey?
How about Dennis? Dennis from San Diego. Good morning, Dennis. Welcome.
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, good morning, guys. What a way to start off the show. All-you-can-eat Dungeness crab, man. You make me hungry. But I got a question for the captain.
Go ahead.
I got a question for Captain Mike. I have some mobility problems, and I use a CPAP, and it's not fun spending the night sitting up in the galley plugged in. Are you guys have the ability to for us disabled people and use CPAPs on your boat?
You know what we do? We have an outlet on each side of the bunk room that was basically put in there just for that reason. It's accessible from probably 4 bunks on each side. And then if depending on weather, we try not to use our staterooms just because they're located up in the bow in choppy weather. But if the weather is nice to mediocre, that's something that – and the landing won't – they won't assign our staterooms. That's something. You get down there, you talk to one of the guys at the landing, whether it's Kirk or somebody, and they'll probably have you talk to me or talk to Tyler. And weather permitting, we would just basically end up putting you in one of the staterooms. The staterooms have 3 bunks in each one, have outlets, have countertops, storage, and are very, very ideal for anybody that has any kind of mobility issue, and especially a CPAP.
kind of cool.
There you go, Dennis. Appreciate the phone call very much. Had another great text come through. This one says, Mike, I lost a big bluefin tuna at the gaff the other day. We sucked the fish, and he freaked out, ripped off the gaff. I broke my line. Can you please give me the proper procedure that I should do as an angler when the fish comes to gaff? Same with the crew, and then how do we deal with the fish once he's on the boat? Like dispatch wise, like.
So what's the
procedure when you got a big one circling as an angler? Like, what do you do to maximize, you know, you're doing the best thing for the crew members standing next to you?
Yeah, no, we usually have six or seven crew members on the boat. When you have a big one up in the corner like that, usually you're going to have a crew member on each side with a gaff. If everybody's got a fish hanging, you know, it's going to be, you know, try to stay on top of everybody, kind of a first come first serve as far as gaffing goes. But usually if you have a big fish like that, there's no less than two or three crew members at your side trying to do everything they can to get that fish on the boat. You know, and I know this has been a controversy for years now, but those big bluefin are absolutely terrifying when they're next to the boat. It's a humbling experience to have a gaff ripped out of your hand, but it does happen. The best thing you can do as an angler, as soon as that gaff goes in the fish, you take it out of gear, put both thumbs on the spool, because if that thing does rip off or something happens, you want to be able to you don't want to break it off. You don't want to be in gear. If you're out of gear and you have your thumbs on the spool, especially with a lever drag, you can slowly push it back up into your strike position and try to get that fish back up to the boat. Once the fish is on the boat, usually one of the first things we do is bleed it. But once they're on the boat, they're usually kind of a done deal. They're, you know, it's not like a 40-pound dorado or a big halibut where the next 2 minutes they thrash around and beat everybody up. They're usually, you know, depending on the size of the fish, you put two or three gaffs in that thing, you get it up on the boat, and that's usually a done deal there. But when they're circling like that, especially if they're on heavy gear, I've had a gaff ripped out of my hands by a couple of big yellowfin in the past, and these big bluefin, sometimes they come to the boat, they're upright, they're brown back in, they're not on their side, they're not tired, and you know what's going to happen when that first gaff goes in. It's a very humbling experience to get beat up by a fish.
I think Frank gave a great description. Like you said, people love to debate. What pulls harder, yellowfin or bluefin? And Frank's thought, which is the one that I like the most, he said, when you hook a fish, rod and reel, fighting it in the beginning, there's no question yellowfin pulls harder, pulls more line, all those things.
You see them go out to the sunset.
Yeah. But when you get that thing close to the boat, the bluefin are just so less predictable. You know, for the most part, a big yellowfin gets up, nice big flat circle. You wind the line when you can get the line. You put a gaff in it and call it a day. Those bluefins are just switch directions.
Head
and how many just head shaking, yeah. SOBs. They come up flat back all the time, showing you one side, big oval circles down around and getting in the wheels. Like, there's something about those things when they get close to the boat, man. They don't have that nice, big, flat, predictable circle that you know, okay, three more times around, we're going to put a gaff in this thing, and it's over. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those things are not finished until they're in the RSW.
All the years that I worked on the Excel, I ran the Intrepid. Like, you know, those big yellowfin are one thing. And you see some phenomenal night bites at, like, Hurricane Bank. And you know, as a crew member, you wake up and you literally don't have the, you know, sleep out of your eyes, and you got to stick a 200-pounder. when you're doing it now, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but you get up during a night bite on these bluefin and you look down and there's three of them at color and you're like, oh man, this is gonna hurt.
are the bluefin any different at night than versus during the day? Like in that fight coming to the boat,
you get some of them that come up within seconds. You know, they're disoriented, whatever, in the lights, and no matter what, it just seems like for whatever reason these big bluefin when they come up hot like that, they're like you said, very
potentially
unpredictable.
Yeah,
a lot of times they're on heavy line and they come up faster, and you know, you get a 200-pound bluefin that's at the boat within 5 minutes, and it's terrifying.
I can't imagine their teeth, and you know, if you've got a smaller leader, I mean, you're kind of, you're asking for
trouble.
You
see them. There's a split second for anybody who's been doing this a long time. You can almost see the look on the fish's face right before it head shakes, and once it head shakes, it's going.
Yeah.
So as a crew member, you have like a split second to make a decision whether you're going to gaff that thing or not. Because once it shakes its head and takes off, I mean, the chance of losing that thing, just it quadruples.
Yeah, sure.
They have really aggressive teeth. They're great, you know, at chewing through lines. So you see one, especially in the dark like that, and it comes up and it starts to head shake, and you're like,
unpredictable.
Man, this is going to hurt.
Cool stuff. We're going to be right back with more of that with Mike and the Tribute. Taking your calls, text some more when we return on Let's Talk a Kebab to 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo and a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
On your next fishing trip, you want to maximize your catching power by using the best jigs available. That's why you need Sea Falcon. These handmade Japan brand certified lures will take your fishing and catching to the next level. All Sea Falcon jigs and plugs are hand painted in Japan, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures. For live jigs, short jigs, poppers, and plugs, Sea Falcon lures get it done. Check SeaFalconUSA.com.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. It's me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Having such a fun time with Mike in studio. God, talking to those big fish, man, I got.
I know, it gets me fired up.
Gnarly.
Man.
Yeah.
It gets me fired up. Well, the phones are absolutely packed solid, Corey. Let's just jump right back into them.
Let's do it. Robert, calling from Orange. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us, Robert.
So, Robert.
Good morning. Yeah, I was on Mike's boat several years ago when he first got it, the Tribute, and he went down and said, hey, we're going to go long range. We're going to go long range. And I go, okay, I'm thinking to myself. And make a long story short, it was a two-day trip, and we didn't get to the fishing grounds till 1 o'clock the next day. And I was like, wow, I wonder if this is worth it. And sure enough, we hit a cow penny, limited out on Dorado and Yellowfin, and we were one of the only boats to get any Dorado or Yellowfin. It was just a great trip. So, moral of the story, he will go the distance. Mike will go the distance. And I have a question. Are there any Dorado in the channel between Catalina and San Pedro?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, I think, you know, listening to Dave's report there, I think that there is some up that far, but I'll guarantee it out of Newport, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, he's talking about looking at the fire freeway we catch in Dorado. So.
Yeah, yeah. If you're launching out of Oceanside, Dana Point, Newport, it is for sure up that far and very close to the harbor. And that warm water's pushing up and in there. It would not surprise me if coming right now or this week, you're going to see that for sure.
Well, at the rate it's going, and it's funny because I was talking about it the other day. You start seeing some of the Ventura County boats with limits of rockfish and a 200-pound bluefin, like Sean Stewart. I remember when yellowtail up there were considered an exotic, and now, you know, being that it's the middle of August, you know, our water is going to continue to warm up. You're probably going to see some exotic more. Well, I don't know what's an exotic anymore. I mean, if you got 200-pound bluefin outside of Ventura County, then you're probably going to see that Dorado keep pushing up for a while.
We're
just getting into the stride of the warm water season.
We had Chauncey from the CJ, who parks right next to Sean up there on the show last weekend, and he was saying that was the same thing. It's like, well, it's kind of hard. You know, it's been limits to sea bass fishing, but there's also bluefin outside. So, you know, kind of let the charter group decide if they want to go.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, if they want to stay on the beach and, you know, and literally chase down sonar balls of sea bass, or they want to poke offshore and go big bluefin fishing.
Yeah, you see some of the little charter boats up there that have probably never seen, or, you know, maybe back in the 80s, but, you know, getting tuna blood on it, it's unreal.
So cool.
And some of those little, like, six-pack operations, you can go out and knock out a limit of sea bass in the morning and go catch a bluefin.
Right? Sign me up, man.
Kind of hard not to like that.
That sounds cool. Well, let's grab another one, Corey.
How about Rich? Rich from Bradley. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning. With all morning. This wild Dorado going on, I'm wondering, do you rig up any differently than for Dorado than you would for Yellowtail? And do you approach them differently? And what's your setup?
Not really. I mean, fluorocarbon's always a great idea if you're fishing like 25 or 30 pound tests, which is what the majority of what we've been doing. Although we've had some very, very good bites on kelp eddies here lately where, you know, you could fish 40, 50, 300 pound, whatever you want. I mean, there's been times where when those Dorado are biting, they're probably one of the goofiest fish out there. I've seen them caught on banana peels and all kinds of different stuff. But you're pretty much the same setup. As far as our approach to them, the kelp paddy fishing is going to be about the same thing. Like I mentioned earlier, if there's a bunch of big yellowtail around like there has been, you usually try to set up a little bit further from the kelp paddy so you don't end up losing them in the yellowtail in it.
Especially when you're talking about 20-pounders.
Yeah.
Legit.
It's amazing. And, you know, you get some people that are, I don't like fishing yellowtail. But that same person hooks one, and it's going towards the kelp, and they've never been madder at a fish. that 20-pound yellowtail, I don't care what you're fishing, 40 or 50-pound. If it's got its mindset to be in that kelp, there's literally no stopping.
Yeah, he's
it.
Getting there.
There's, you know, those big ones fishing on yo-yo jigs. If they can see the bottom, if they can see a kelp paddy, I don't care who you are, how many big bluefin you've caught or anything else, that is a very humbling experience trying to stop that thing when it's 3 feet from the kelp.
And then you got to stand there looking at your buddies like, oh, no, I'm in the kelp. You know, hopefully we'll get them out. Like.
And always remember, it's easier to pull on them before they get in there than once they do.
That's a good tip.
They're like, oh, I don't want to break them off. And I said, well, you know, if it touches that kelp, it's a done deal. So, yeah, you pull on it 50% harder than you want to right now, and you might get that thing. So a very, very similar approach to either one.
That's cool. Hey, great
tip.
Yeah, great question. Hey, another fun text. Good morning, gentlemen. Great show today, as always. I'm an older dad and getting ready to take my son and daughter down to become a bucket list item, a deep sea fishing trip. They both have enjoyed camping and freshwater fishing as kids, but I want to give them the same blue water passion as I. Mike, what type of trip do you recommend that I introduce them to get them into saltwater fishing? That's from Mark in Temecula.
Well, being that you live in Temecula, you're close by. So depending on age wise and how they do on a boat, I would definitely approach get on the new C4th for a half day trip. I think the San Diego sold out until like 5 years from now or something. So,
like, who knows when?
Yeah, exactly. But, there might be a space in 2024.
Yeah, the Sea Watch does both three-quarter day fishing, but I would get them on a half-day boat, at least get them, let them try it out, make sure they like it, make sure that you're not getting them on a 36-hour trip for the first time, they get seasick, and they don't ever want to fish again. So, you know, give C4 the landing a call, talk to Marcos, one of those guys, and try to find out when there's availability. Our weather apps now are phenomenal. You can look at the weather 2 weeks in advance and at least get an idea. But I would try to book, get out there and let them do some calico bass fishing, some barracuda fishing, whether it's that bottom fish, and at least let them get a feel for what they're getting into before you put them on an overnight trip or longer. I've seen guys bring their kids out on, you know, a day and a half or 2.5 day trips where the weather is horrible and that kid will never look at a boat the same way ever again.
I love your thought, too. And Brian and Julio both on that new CC4th are so good with kids. I mean, they are
just,
you know,
a perfect platform.
It is.
And both of them are good guys.
You go on a day when there's some good bass fishing, or, you know, just short bass fishing in La Jolla, they're going to, you only need to get a bait a little ways away from the boat. You could drop it with a sinker. You could put on a wham, whatever. You know, you just know that there's lots of bites to be had. And you get on that boat with those guys, there's no way those kids aren't just having a blast.
And that's what you want to do. You want to let them get a feel for it, let them get excited about
it. And have a good time.
Totally. Yeah.
Then leave them hungry for more at the end, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, that way you get that passion burn into them, and then they're going to want to go on longer trips. Yeah. It's a natural kind of procession.
Go to the galley, eat cheeseburgers, you know, buy chips and Cokes and candies and catch a bunch of fish, and then the trip over. Yep. It's perfect.
Yeah, and then they'll want to come back.
Totally.
Yeah, you want to do that before you get them on an overnight trip or something, because that can absolutely ruin a kid fishing wise for the rest of their life.
And when they do decide to make that leap, I mean, you're really good with kids. You probably enjoy having them on the boat, and they're going to have a bunch.
They usually catch more than everybody else. A lot of times you get kids that come on the boat, and they're they want to be helped, and your captain or your deckhand's going to, you know, help pin a bait on for them. And usually after a couple of times, they want to do it themselves, and that's perfect. That's what you want to happen. And, the kid gets off a half-day trip. He goes, well, I want to go out on a three-quarter-day trip. And then, of course, spending the night on a boat for a kid who enjoys fishing is like a huge step. And they're so excited about it. They get on the boat. The first thing they want to do is go look at their bunk and, you know, walk around the boat. And you're like, man, this kid's hooked. And
that's so right. rad. So rad. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a fun text came through from Mario in Pasadena. Mike, I remember you from back in the Pacific Eagle Port Hueneme days. Can you talk a little bit about your fishing routes before you got to the Tribute?
I grew up in Ventura County. I actually was born and raised in Fillmore, which is up by Magic Mountain, Ventura County, and moved to Ventura, I think I was 9, and my mom actually worked for a place called Pacific Current. So they owned Ventura Sport Fishing back in the 80s, and I grew up trout fishing and everything else. So I think one of the first guys I ever worked for was actually Bill Cavanaugh. I think I was 9 years old. I was pinheading for him. It's where I met Pat. It's crazy. I used to have a paper route when I was 10 years old. I'd deliver papers and then go get on a boat for a day. And, you know, now you almost got to force a kid to, like, you know, put the video games down.
At 17.
If I missed the boat, I'd call Ventura Landing and they'd be like, oh, Mikey, the boat's leaving in 5 minutes. I'm like, Mom, get up. But, we were talking about bonita fishing in the surf earlier. But
one of the coolest things, right?
As a kid, I mean, it was literally... And I remember seeing, at, you know, 10, 11 years old, seeing all the flyers, you know, albacore trips. And I was like, man, that's got to be awesome. But for a three-quarter day of fishing up there, you know, catching a 10-pound bonita on 12-pound.
That's a big deal,
and
man.
A spinning rod was... It was the greatest thing in the world, man. Yeah. I live for that.
I was going to say, you want to talk about testing your angling skills. Catch a 10-pound bonita on anything less than about 40-pound line, and, like, you've got your work cut out for you.
I don't know how many times I got spooled.
Sure.
Just, you know, fishing a little ugly stick and a spinning reel. Like, but that was, you know, fly line on an anchor. You get bit, and it's just... That's what made it. That sold me forever as far as sport fishing. And, yeah, we used to... Back when there was not bluefin up there, we used to fish rockcod 9 months out of the year, and that was something I really miss as well. I'm fishing, you know, 600 to 1,000 feet of water, and yeah, so it's something you just don't see anymore. Big canyons full of reds and calcod and stuff, but that's kind of how all that started up there. I came down to San Diego and went to work, actually first for Fraker City on the Coral Sea in 1996. And when the boat went back up to Oxnard, I stayed here. I worked on the producer for 4 years. Got my captain's license when I was 20, and, you know, kind of the rest started. I think I started running the Excel when I was 23.
Another text had come through saying, Mike, the last albacore I caught was with you, and it was at the helm of the International Star.
That's a wild boat.
Yeah, bring back some memories, right?
That was the first boat I ever... I got off the Excel and started running the International Star, I think, in 2003. So somewhere in that time period. And did a lot of work to the boat. You know, it was a small... Well, it was a big... small passenger charter.
Yeah.
We basically slept 18 guys on a 70-foot boat, and what a great time. We killed the albacore for years there. I mean, the first trip I think I ran was July 5th that year, and we had limits of albacore and passed school off to the pad on the Pacific Dawn, and just what a great start. And I do miss the boat. It became, you know, the Avanti or Invicta, and is no longer around. It might still be part of the Coronado Islands, but great times. Just growing up, and it's funny you talk about albacore though. I don't think I have a crew member on the boat. No, maybe Colin that's seen it. Yeah, my second captain Sean, but aside from that, most of these new crew members have never seen an albacore.
Isn't that crazy?
First one comes up, they're gonna just look at it and be like,
"What the heck?
What? Yeah. Hey, there's something flying in the water."
I joke about the same thing all the time. I would say that we, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I put our crew at our tackle store at Fisherman's Landing against any place in the world. Yeah. They are the fishiest SOBs in the world. That's all those guys do. The most hardcore have done so many things, and I think there's only three or four people there, and that includes Doug and I, that have ever even seen a live albacore before. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, those kids are the best in the world at what they do. And, you know, I was like, well, have you ever seen an albacore? Like, well, I saw a picture of my dad with them, you know, back in the day, but I've never seen one.
I mean, think about it. There's a generation or two of not only employees, you know, on the boats and shops, but actually fishermen, right, that haven't seen an albacore bite.
Aside from Mr. Schmidt, you're starting to limit it there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're in a most beautiful cycle we could be in right now, right? And you know that albacore cycle is going to come around eventually. And
well, it's funny because Dave Hansen was talking earlier about the the cedar plug, and back when we used to troll nothing but Mexican flags, root beers, abortions, you know, stuff like that. And we still have all those feathers in the wheelhouse. And when this happens again, it's going to, I mean, they
that
do
stuff's
eat, the,
gonna be valid
they do eat the cedar plug, but it's one of those things that the crew like keeps throwing in the back. They're like, I don't even know why we have the stuff in the wheelhouse. Well,
you're going to find out. Like, the sonar is a key ingredient in the whole thing, right? To see a spot of fish, but you can't see the 10 or 20 fish spot, right? As easily as you can a 1,000 fish.
Oh, yeah. No. That's going to be a game changer for a lot of people. Trolling back and forth over the same 100-yard spot because you're picking up one albacore at a time for absolutely no reason why they're there. And you just keep circling around, keep going back over that same
spot. But you don't sonar it. Yeah, there's nothing on the sonar, really.
It's got to be a pretty good school of albacore to really see it on the sonar.
But that's where the jigs are going to come into play.
When I first started running the XL, I just remember you're looking at one dot on the sonar, and you're chasing it down in a 124-foot boat trying to run over that one dot. You got a lot of new captains now that they're not even going to bat an eye at it. They're going to be like, oh, it's just one fish. Why would you turn on that? Because sometimes that turns into 400 fish. Yeah.
That's wild.
I love it.
Hey, this is a fun one, Corey. Darren Amenifi sent us this text. Said, hey, I need to double down on the Cedros reports. I got back Monday. We had yellows, calicos, and halibut with my dad and my oldest son. We spent 2 hours fishing Isla Natividad that was to the south. We released over 100 bass in 2 hours, all on Corey's swim baits. I went through an entire box of browns, mostly 6-inch MC weedless, also the 7-inch and 8-inch weedless, and we crushed them on the big Viejos with a 1-ounce lead head on a war bait.
Yeah, man. that
was from Darren in a minute.
That bass fishing in Tividad could be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You've never seen so many 10-pound calicos on basically a chunk of rubber.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, leaving from Cedros right there, it's like a 10, 12-mile jaunt.
Well, one of those small boats, 15. It's nothing.
No, it's super fast.
You know, it's funny. We did a bass trip down there years ago on the International Star, and my cook stayed on the boat. He was watching it while we were on anchor. We went out, just killed the we skiff fishing for calicos, came back, and he had, I think, 15 halibut while we were gone. And almost all of them were like, 10 to maybe 20 pounds.
Yeah.
But I came back, and he goes, guess what we're having for dinner? I said, what? He goes, look in the kill box. And I was like, oh, my God.
Hey, that's the kind of stuff you get at Cedros Sport Fishing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
You can handle that. That works for me.
Hey, I love the talk. I love the good stories. We're going to be right back with Mike Pritchard. We're going to find out who's won this day-and-a-half trip, whether it's a caller or a texter. When we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mighty 1090 ESPN.
That went by fast.
It goes super fast.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resort. resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer Resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like kicking big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
All right, back to Let's Talk Hookup. Yeah, right. We've had such a fun show, but there's only going to be one lucky winner. Mike's going to flip the coin. Oh,
okay, we're going to find out the winner.
It's a really fancy coin.
The caller or texter.
It's a caller.
Hey,
am I right?
That's it. Yeah, and that's the scene.
And that's going to be Dennis. Dennis in San Diego. You're going to go out on a day and a half trip on the Tribute. Totally stoked, and you're going to have a good time for sure.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Dennis. Yeah, you're going to absolutely love it. A great trip. Mike, crazy. We joked about it, like how fast 2 hours can blow by. Had a great time. So much cool fishing going on in the Tribute. I know it's busy. You guys are booked for a reason. That's what we were talking about. But give us another rundown on that first responders trip that your Cal Fire buddies putting together, and then other sponsor trips. How do we go fishing with you? I want to go. I'm in, man. I'm in on everything.
So, Luke Withers, Cal Fire is doing a trip. It's August 23rd and 24th. There is about four or five spots open on it. I was just talking to him about it yesterday. Best thing to do is probably email or text me, 619-246-3114. I almost gave the landing's number. The landing will not know anything about it. It's a private charter. But that is trying to be limited to first responders, Cal Fire, or something like that. Trying to keep it all together. And there's definitely going to be some perks as far as pizza port, beer, and stuff like that on the trip. So aside from that, August 30th, I think, is our next available trip, which is awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you're looking at the end of the month here for any kind of spots. And September, we used to try to put our schedule up about a month in advance. We're taking advantage of the best fishing available, but it's become such a high demand. And, you know, Andrew running the Pacifica, it's the same thing. We're starting to book up so much further in advance. We did put up a September and October schedule just recently. So probably some of the best fishing time of the year, September, October, November, with this yellowfin starting to show up, the Dorado and everything else. It'd be a great time to call the landing. You can reach Seaforth at 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthsportfishing.com, tributesportfishing.com, and always take a look at our Facebook page. It's Tribute Sport Fishing, so you can see what we're catching. But it really good time to jump on the boat. We're same thing charter wise booked out, you know, for the next couple years. If you want to do a charter, you can always reach out to me. Same thing with tributesportfishing.com, and we're in the middle of a 2.5-day charter right now, and it
And you'll always let us, you know, if a guy knows, hey, I want a book, first right of refusal, but as soon as the opportunity comes up, if a guy comes to you and says, I want to charter the boat, here's a floating deposit, you'll find a spot for him.
Yeah, we've slowly got rid of some of our sponsor trips. We have great sponsors, whether it's Akuma, Seeker,
Support.
Awesome. No doubt about it. One more time, shoot us a number, Mike, if somebody wants to take advantage.
619-224-3383 at Seaforth Landing. And TributeSportFishing.com is a good way to book as well.
Awesome. And a great job, and we so appreciate you always keeping us up to date. All the reports, all the info, we love it. We love the Tribute, and we're sure proud to be a part of fishing with you, Mike. Hey, we appreciate you. Another couple of great shows coming for you next weekend. Next Saturday, Jeff Hughes from H&H Marine, and next Sunday, Eric Landesfein, outdoor rider and avid angler. Going to be a couple of great shows. We'll see you next week right here on the Mightier 1090.